Are we starting a real episode now, or are we going to do an intro?
No, of course not.
This is Wasted Information! Wasted Information!
So we're getting into college drinking. Here we go. I feel like we got into college drinking when we were in college. But
either way, this is Wasted Information. We're talking about college drinking today. Start off, what are you drinking?
Okay, I feel like I need to hedge it on today's. Because when we play in this episode, the theme that we were going to...
There was going to be a different theme, so he got alcohol and then
I was trying to theme my alcohol to my topic of the day, and Jimmy's like, we should talk about our siblings and our sisters and whatever. So I tell my wife to go pick me up something that has to do with siblings or sisters or whatever. She couldn't find any beer, so we get some middle sister California Moscato over here.
Make sure you hold the label up for all these audio listeners.
Yeah, all the audio listeners can see. The only thing on the front, you know, it's sweet and sassy, California Moscato. Apparently they're trying to get people out to vote. So there's a hashtag toast the vote on the front. And the quote on the bottle is, the only thing I plan to exercise is my right to vote. It's really not bad, though. I don't drink a whole lot of Moscato. If I'm drinking wine, it's usually like a red wine after dinner or something, but I can't complain. I enjoy the middle sister sweet and sassy California Moscato. It's a little fruity, not too sweet, though. I like the description that they give us, though.
Go for it.
After a long, hard day of being fabulous, I like to relax with a glass of wine. But I don't want it to bite me back. Isn't there enough drama in this world? That's why this wine is my new best wine friend. That's why this wine... Oh, I just read that.
Keep going.
With a touch of natural sweetness, it's
keep going, champ. We got this.
Oh, we're good.
God, imagine when we have real ad reads. Fuck us.
With a touch of natural sweetness, it's smooth and refreshing and so easy to love. Moscato, always stay as sweet as you are. I'll handle the sassy part.
Beautiful.
That's where we're at. No sponsorship yet, but middle sister wine.
Just every week we're just shilling for sponsors.
What are you drinking over there?
I actually bought two different beers on Friday in case to see which one I was going to actually drink on the show. One of them was a sour and it wasn't good. So it's not this one. It was sour and not in like a tart, but sour as in like a spoiled flavor.
This is a sour milk beer.
Exactly. It was not good. But the one I am drinking, for all you audio listeners, here's the can. I just, while you were talking, I was looking up how to pronounce it. It's Stone Chocovesa. It's Imperial Stout inspired by Mexican hot chocolate. Ooh. It's actually really good. I have it in a Polish beer stein.
You're drinking a Mexican hot chocolate lager out of a Polish stein. That works.
Exactly.
Where's Stone from again? They're somewhere around here, right?
Richmond, Virginia.
No, that's nowhere near here. I guess they're pretty
Escondido, California, and Richmond, Virginia.
They're pretty well distributed then, so that's good. They're good. They're a good little brewery.
This is the 2018 edition. This is a beloved stout. When first introduced as a limited special collaboration release with San Diego homebrewer Chris Banker, after his recipe won the annual homebrew competition.
All right.
And Cervecería Insurgente. It was an instant hit, and fans began clamoring for its return. Seeing as how its amazing flavor profile is evocative of Mexican hot chocolate, featuring coffee, pastilla peppers, vanilla, cinnamon, nutmeg, and a generous amount of our own in-house made chocolate, we concluded it was the perfect stout to re-release in celebration of the holidays and the entire winter season. Perfect for drinking in June. This is now a highly anticipated yearly tradition that we are pleased to present from us to you. It makes a perfect wintry gift from you and your from you to your friends.
So where'd you get ones. This beer? Have they just had this hanging around since 2018?
I guess it was just at the local liquor store.
It's not skunked yet.
It's not, no, it's fucking delicious.
I don't know if
that's like throwing that. I don't know. They're just they thicken.
Yeah, that's cool. It's not they like that.
They curdle.
Not like that Bex I had the other day at my parents' house. Jesus, that was like a 3-year old Bex.
It had not 3 years old. Expired 3 years ago.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
So it was probably like 5 years old, and it had sediment in it. it's like, just more alcohol.
I mean, Bex has kind of a special place in my heart because so when I was, 15, 16, spent a summer in Germany, and, Bex was just, a go-to. It's like a Bud Light over there.
Yeah.
So it's just, you're walking down the corner, shop, you're going to watch the football match or whatever, and you just grab a Bex on the way. And, that was, it always has a little bit of, nostalgia for me, but that one was not doing it. When there's chunks in my Bex, it doesn't quite bring back the fond memories of Germany.
It was more flakes.
Yeah, but that's true. Wasn't very chunky. It was definitely flaky, and your beer shouldn't be flaky.
But actually, turning that on top.
Yeah.
Making that a good
segue.
Topic.
Did you like that segue?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it worked out unintentionally, but the fact because yours was in high school, mine was that was the first beer I drank in my dorm in college. Nice. Yeah. And it was really skunked because we bought it at Walmart. It'd probably been sitting on the top shelf. It's because it's a green bottle, clear bottle, like Corona bottles and green bottles skunk a lot easier than dark bottles.
Well, I thought that's why they made the green bottles, but I guess it doesn't help as much.
No, it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
But no, that was a whole ad campaign for I think Bud Light or Budweiser back in the day, why they have brown bottles. It's 80-90% UV protection, where the green has 20 and clear has none.
Yeah. Well, that's why Stella always tastes a little skunk to me too. I don't know if it's just the way Stella
it's got
to
be the bottle
is, but I think it's just
buy bad ones. You gotta when you buy it because we bought Bex later.
Every time I've had Stella on tap, it's fantastic. But when I drink Stella out of the bottle, it tastes skunk. Yeah.
Because it's in a keg.
Yeah.
Kegs protect it. Speaking of that, with college bars, I learned a little secret that a lot of places do that some people might not know. So, fun fact, if you're getting Bud Light at a bar, most likely you're drinking, if it's on tap, it's most likely either Natty or Busch. It's made by the same people. It's a lot cheaper. People don't
actually know the difference.
It's all made by Anheuser-Busch, but it's a lot cheaper to get Natty kegs. And drunk people don't know the difference. The bowling alley in South Bend definitely does it because we could taste the difference. We're like, man, this tastes really bad.
Oh, yeah, we definitely
did that. And it was so we had to drink Miller just so we knew what we were drinking.
Yeah. No, that was, I feel like, going back to the nostalgia thing with the Bex, there's a couple beers and especially Germany has that special place. So there's a German beer called Veltins that I haven't been able to find anywhere but Germany, except one time when I was in college in Chicago, I also found it at a Binny's in Chicago, a big liquor store there. And I tasted it and it just didn't quite taste the same, but it was still fantastic. But, I don't know. It's just a crappy beer, but it's just the memories associated with that taste are where it's at. I did the same thing with this Moscato though. Cause I feel like Moscato was kind of the oh, there's a girl coming over. She wanted wine. So we get Moscato.
That's what you had to see. Man, we're killing it with the segues here. Talking about Moscato in college. That was our pregame doing Moscato challenges.
Yeah.
What's a Moscato challenge? I'll tell you. It's where you get the fat bottle of either Sutter, Homer, Barefoot. Shout out if they want to sponsor us.
Ooh,
cheap bottles, decent taste in wine.
Like liter bottle, whatever it was. Yep. 1.5, right?
I think so. 1.5, 1.25. Either way, it's the big bottle. It usually runs you like $8-$9. You have the Moscato challenge is you get one of those and you drink it in an hour. And that's it. That was the challenge. It's like, what do you get from it? It's like nothing. It's just see if you can do it. And then we would do it. And then we would go out. That was our pregame for the night. That's the thing. I've had this discussion recently, too.
Some people pregame on power hours and,
we've done that, too.
Jimmy pregamed and drinking a bottle of Moscato.
Among other stuff. There was a night I had a bottle of Moscato and 8 Locos total and then went out.
Wait, is that 2-4 Locos?
Yes.
Okay.
eight total Locos. But, we're fucking crazy back then because I've had this discussion over several times. I don't know if we ever did on the podcast about alcoholism. It's like I was never an alcoholic. I was a binge drinker. And there's a difference.
Yeah.
Neither are good, but it's like when I said I want to, or I never got the craving to be like, I need to be drunk kind of thing. I never chased it as a high, which is what happens with alcoholism. But as a binge drinker, it's just when you drink way too much.
I definitely, when I first, I drank in high school a little bit, and like we don't condone that for people who are underage, but like
I didn't. You know, I was a square.
Yeah, you were.
We still am, but
I never go crazy in high school. Like I didn't have any like blackout or throw. Like I was hungover a few times, and like only the band teacher knew. But other than that, like it wasn't too bad. But like, man, something happened when I got to college. Like my freshman year of college was really bad. There was a day, like one night, I almost died by no one else's fault but my own. Like we were all just hanging out, having a good time. We had some like sorority girls over, and like we were all just having a good time drinking. And one guy had some absinthe because he was in the Navy, and he had brought it back with him, so it's like actual absinthe from like absinthe. The Netherlands, and like we were pre-gaming pretty hard. I had a few drinks of like that absinthe, and then I had like a shot of something, like a shot of Jaeger or something. And I mean, at this point, I was probably, we're talking maybe 3-4 hours of like solid drinking, but I was maybe drinks wise 15 to 18 drinks in. It was not good. Some of my friends definitely just found me literally just gurgling on my own vomit and saved my life. Like just flipped me over and saved my life that night, and kind of changed it since then. But there's definitely a few things, like I've gone back and had an absinthe and enjoyed it. But I've definitely had other bad nights that have, like, gotten me sick. And, like, I can't even, like, it's the opposite of nostalgia. It's, like, anti-nostalgia. Like, you smell a smell and you're just, like, revolted from it. And I know we both have those. Like, I can't smell Dragonberry Bacardi without just heaving a little bit.
Yeah, mine is cinnamon. So, and also not, at the time in college, like I didn't fuck with whiskey at all. So I went to college at the worst possible time when Fireball became a thing. And that's the thing, I always liked Jaeger. I still, to an extent, I don't enjoy like drinking like a glass of Jaeger, but I can shoot Jaeger easily. Like I can handle it.
Yeah.
But I
don't enjoy it.
I was born in the wrong time frame where it was like Jaeger bombs just kind of fell out of fashion and Fireball came into fashion when we got to college. So I got stuck in there. And with And it wasn't even Fireball that killed it for me. It's Goldschlager, which at a time, though. I loved that.
Isn't it?
No, it's cinnamon.
Oh, it's cinnamon?
It is 100% okay. Cinnamon. But you're thinking of Rumpy. That's a whole other story after this.
Yeah.
But went to, because we have Grand Prix, which is just pre.
At Purdue, just to be clear.
Yeah, at Purdue. It's Grand Prix. It's like pre spring semester finals, like right before, because you got dead week before finals. Before dead week, you got Grand Prix, which is everyone's out partying. No one has real assignments to do other than study. Yep. I had to work all that week, so Thursday was the first night I actually got to do anything, and this is when I was still in the dorms. Went with a friend and a friend of his to a guy's apartment. I had a bottle of Goldschlager that we got the same time we got that Beck's, but and I was just drinking straight along with other stuff, which is really what kills you is mixing. But we had like.
That wasn't the bottle of Goldschlager my mother gave you, was it?
No, that was later.
Okay.
We finished the gold. That was the bottle your mom gave me. So
I just love that we were at my parents' house one time. My mom just like, here's a bottle of Goldschlager, Jimmy.
He's like, you like Goldschlager? I was like, yes. So I took it. But unless that
my
happened
mother, the enabler.
Either way, I had a bottle of Goldschlager. That might have been after. But because I could still do Goldschlager after that, but no, it was before. Your mom gave me before this even happened, because that's when I was still in South Bend, because I drank it with friends in South Bend. So anyway, this is a different bottle of Goldschlager, but I finished it along with a couple cups of punch that they had made to get rid of their, I believe, either Kamchatka or Skol vodka that they didn't want. So I was pretty fucked up by the end of the night. We went to Taco Bell on campus, and I just kind of slumped over into a booth while they were in line. I had people coaching me, like, man, you got this. Like,
well, that's like, what you got to do, man. When you see the guy on the sidelines, you got to.
And then my guys come around, they're like, oh, it's too long of a line, we're going somewhere else. So we went to an Arby's, which was also there before that closed down.
Yep.
So I sat in a booth, and there was no line because it was Arby's. Nobody's thinking Arby's when they're drunk. That's a horrible decision.
But they got the meats, man.
That was before they had the meats.
Oh, okay.
That was just Arby's. I think that was the good mud food. No, that was it was good mud food.
Yeah,
or the good mood food. But either way, I slump over in another booth. They go get their food. A guy I had met earlier that night at the party was there, and he gave me his like large cup with like a little bit of whatever he was drinking. And he's like, here, drink this, you'll feel better. And I threw up in the cup and filled it to the top, like to the top without spilling it, and slid it to the edge of the table. A guy showed up and like sat down and ate their food. They're like, where'd you get a drink? It's like, don't touch it. It's puke. And I just threw it out in their trash can, which is a horrible thing to do. Didn't spill it anywhere, but I threw it out in the inside trash can.
Hey, being Arby's. On the other side of that, working in a restaurant and cleaning up the other people's vomit, we'll touch on that one later.
Okay.
Different episode, but it's not a great thing to do.
Well, yeah. But yeah, my buddies basically like walked me home like a guy under each arm. And like I threw up in the bushes outside of a frat. We're coming around the backside of our dorm, like the back way to get to it. And next to a dining court, there's four cop cars just chilling. And we're all 19 years old at this point. And they're like, dude, can you hold it together for like 2 minutes while we walk by these cops? I was like, all right.
Yeah.
And I went, okay. And having just been carried about a quarter mile, like them holding me up to walk, you wouldn't have thought I had a single drink that night. I just walked straight, like as straight as you could, like stone sober, right past. And
I feel like we all have that moment where, like, when we know we need to be sober, you can sober up in a snap, and you just.
I didn't sober up. It's just the adrenaline hit.
Well, yeah.
And then they're following me, laughing their asses off. It's like, we just carried this guy this whole way, and then he just walked like nothing happened. But I missed my classes the next day. I woke up with one shoe on. My hat was still on. Like, I went into my dorm and laid down, just passed out. And
yeah,
that was the worst hangover I'd ever had up to that point. But after that, residual cinnamon just triggers a gag reflex, which is the point of this whole long-winded story.
That's fair. I mean, I've definitely had the, like, I've had a few bad ones. Like I said, the Dragonberry Bacardi is rough for me. It's really the only thing I can't stand. And it was just a mold, and it used to be like the go-to. I don't know, that was our thing in college. Like, we'd make a bunch of stuff with Dragonberry, and that was it. And like, I had one really bad night with it.
Cut you off, but just thinking about, you ever get the like just chills from thinking about an alcohol? Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I was thinking about Rumpy again, and I just got like that cold chill down my fucking spine. Like,
oh dude,
like you happens. Can almost taste it. Like, you can't taste it, but you get the feeling. Like, mm-hmm. it hurts your fillings. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah. No, I definitely. I mean, most of my like in college drinking experiences were pretty good. I was known as the like, I was always the guy who just make friends though, but then I would disappear. So if we were going. Can we hold that thought?
But anyway, you were the guy that used to make friends and disappear.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. I was, God, yeah. So most of the time in college, it was a good time. I'd come down and visit friends who were going to Purdue quite a bit. My whole thing was, so I went to school in Chicago. So most of the time, we were partying like on campus or like at one house. So we didn't really have to worry about this. And I didn't know it was a thing. Cause like we're hanging out there, we're hanging out at one place, like especially before we were of legal drinking age, we weren't like roaming around to bars and nightclubs and stuff like in the city. We were just going one place and chilling for the night. Even when it was like a party, we were just chilling. Once I got down to Purdue and realized like, okay, you pregame here, you might go over to someone else's place, grab a few more friends, have a few drinks there. You go to this bar, you hop over to that bar, you hit this other bar. Apparently, I'm the guy who just is super friendly when he gets drunk. And he really gets into it. He will make friends and just leave everyone he came with. Because there was multiple occasions where we would start off at one bar. I don't know what happened. I'd get to talking to people. They're like, oh, hey, we're going here. I was like, that's cool. And I ended up going with them to another bar because everything was so close down there. You just walked to another bar with a group of friends you just made. And like, we'd hang out. I'd go get something to eat. And they're like, oh, we're going to go to this, like, in the night at this other bar. I'd be like, cool, let's go there. And then like, I'd meet the friends that I came out with that I actually knew. And I'd see them. They're like, where have you been? We went to three other bars. And I was just right. Like, there was nights I would just show back up and people would find me asleep in like my friend's bed that we just left their house. Like, that was a normal occasion. I would just appear back, especially like Breakfast Club like days.
Oh, of course.
We'd start drinking at, you know, 8 a.m.
For those who, 8 a.m. amateur hour.
Well,
for those
I mean,
who don't know, Breakfast Club, again, amateur hour. For those who don't know, Breakfast Club is home game or football home games, where everybody dresses up in costumes and goes to the bar at 6 a.m. and then drink up until, because Purdue always plays the noon game.
Yep.
So it's just you drink until the game, then you go home, pass out. And there's an art form to it because everybody tries to, we're going to go to bed
later.
Well, they think, oh, we're going to go to bed earlier. We're going to go to bed and get up in the morning. No, you're not getting up at 6 a.m. You got to drink through the night.
Oh,
and you got to just power through it. That's the best way to do it, because you end up getting up too late. Or not, if you try drinking the night before and it's a Friday night, you got to be drinking on a Friday night. You're just going to be sober Sally, go to bed at 9 a.m. on a Friday to wake up on time?
We're not adults yet. We'd go to bed by like midnight or so and then wake up like 4 or 5 hours late. Because what you do, you get up, you have a drink or two, you get to the bars by, you know, do they open at 6 or 7?
6.
They open at 6?
Some bars have food, like, first come, first serve, exactly, with, like, breakfast burritos.
So you get there, you get in there early, you get your, you know, one or two drinks there, you get your food, you maybe go to another bar, you go back, you take a nap.
It's not like really a nap. It's just you crash. You fall asleep drunk, but, and then you wake up about four or five. You wake up
still drunk.
Something.
You wake up still drunk. You go tailgate for a little bit, and you go to the game. That's how we did it, and it worked. But I was known for just disappearing. No, whether it was breakfast,
you don't go to a Purdue football game. There's no point.
You go tailgate though. Like that was because they don't shut down their tailgating, right? You just tailgate through the game.
That's good if it's a 2:30 game.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. If it's a noon game, you're just Breakfast Club till the game starts.
I think I only actually made it to like two tailgates ever. And to be fair, I didn't go to school there. So, that's pretty good.
I only made it to, I think, two Breakfast Clubs total. And one, somebody was calling me to get me to come out. And I was like, I'm not. I went to sleep last night.
I probably went to maybe Breakfast Clubs, maybe six or seven.
Yeah. And you didn't go there. I was at the school.
I lived at least 2 hours away.
My problem, too, was I was a delivery driver, so I was always working Saturday morning.
That's true.
But then you go to the one bars. If they did it right, it's Breakfast Club, so everybody wants either a mimosa, if you're that fancy, or a screwdriver. Right. So they would make a batch of screwdrivers in a trash can, and they were $3. So it's like everyone's like, screwdriver. Oh, you want a screwdriver? Really? And then, they just scoop it and hand it. And that's and they usually go through the entire thing.
Yep.
If they don't, then screwdrivers are on special for cheaper that night. Saturday nights, it's like, screwdrivers for $2. Like, we got to get rid of it.
Yep. No, that was
constantly dumping ice in it. It's diluted.
Looking back on it, as stupid as we were drinking in college, we had a good time. Well, we did some stupid shit.
We didn't die.
But I feel like
we didn't die or hurt anybody that we know of.
Yeah, exactly. I almost died once.
Well, you almost died. But did you, though?
Did you die, though? I don't think so.
I'm glad we went through
that, because now I know, like, when I go out now, I have a pretty wide palate. Like, I'll drink a variation of drinks and cocktails and beers. And like, and I think because of like what I drank in college, I now like have a better appreciation for the good liquors and things I drink now. Yeah. And I think we should do? We should talk about this more next week. The like what we drink now and the like appreciating that fine.
Show. Redo our first show.
The like what we drink
now. Yeah, our first show was our first drink. The first bad one we recorded, that was what we talked about.
Not necessarily the first drink, but I we should talk.
Just how we used to drink, how our palate has changed, our go-tos. Because, I'm the same way like you're saying. Like, back in the day, it was whatever's on special. Just I have the same, like, one or two drinks.
I would love to talk about, like, how we've gone from, like, what we used to drink to what we drink now. And especially, like, I'm going to be living in Lexington, Kentucky, which is on the bourbon trail. And like, I've become a big bourbon drinker. So like, I really appreciate that area and the types of, the distilleries and things I'll be around there. So it'd be pretty cool.
But going from just being like a rum and coke drinker to like, 10 years later being in South, or not, it's not 10 years, like 7 or 8 years later in South Bend, going to whatever that one bar is we went with last time I saw it. Spirit, getting the one with like fucking lavender in it. It's like, it sounds good. I'll try it. There's a place down here that does the meadery. They do different meads and stuff.
Nice.
It was like this lavender like margarita.
I think it was a good start.
Lavender is a good fucking like flavor, I found out. I've had lavender gum from a stoner friend of mine.
I think we'll talk about it more next time. I guess it's a good start. Gives people a good idea of what we're going to be doing.
Yeah. All that other stuff we recorded was just for show, just practice. Yeah, it's pretty much garbage. And this is basic format. It's for the main
we'll
come show.
We'll try and do it. We'll give you the long form every Monday or Tuesday, and we'll release the short form to the point on topic episode every Thursday. I think that's our plan from here on out. All right. This has been Wasted Information.
I'm Jimmy.
I'm Brandon.
See you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard and want to keep up with the show, make sure to subscribe on Spotify, Google, iTunes, or wherever you go to for podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram at WastedInfo or email us at WastedInfoPod@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Wasted Information.